Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. هيا على الصلاة. هيا على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. الله أكبر الله.
القناعات محمد الوصيل والفضيل ودار العشرة ورابع ضعف مقام مضموننا الذين أدى الحمد لله. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتابه مبين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ويا أيها المسلمون، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، وجمعة مبارك. الحمد لله. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ألم تر إلا الذي حاج إبراهيم في ربه أن أتاه الله الملك إذ قال إبراهيم ربي الذي يحيي ويميت قال أنا أحيي وأميت قال إبراهيم فإن الله يأتي بالشمس من المشرق فأتي بها من المغرب فبهتت الذي كفر والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين صدق الله العظيم. An expression of it is, have you not considered the one who argued with Abraham about his Lord merely because Allah had given that one kingship? When Abraham said, my Lord is the one who gives life and causes death, he said, I give life and cause death. Abraham said, indeed, Allah brings up the sun from the east, so bring it up from the west. So the disbeliever was overwhelmed by astonishment, and Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Alhamdulillah, we have in effect completed the portion of our movement in, let's call it, Search of the Science of Truth and Reality, connects with the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that tells us about when Allah created the intellect, which we understand to mean explicitly the obedient intellect, and more so an intellect obedient to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last segments of our address to this subject and in connection with that hadith was, and by opposing you, punishment will be received. So we went through several segments associated with that, that essentially took as its paradigm of those that receive punishment for disobedience of the intellect was a Lot's wife. And so we went through much of that, those who lag behind, those who betray, and then also most recently the portion that points to the fact that those who have been blessed to develop in their human potential, human capabilities, and build and acquire power and knowledge thereby, but who yet and still are ungrateful and who do not serve Allah and the people first through that development. And so this is something of a bridge to what, inshallah, Allahu a'lam, I told you I didn't know where the subject ends, so we continue. But we're bridging to a very important other aspect related to Abraham particularly, because the whole thing, the nature of truth and reality, the science of truth and reality, Abraham is the archetype. Abraham is the model for it. More of that is going to, of course, be said, inshallah, today. Now, as opposed to dealing with a hadith, I usually like to use a report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to add to it, and perhaps in the future, because this will not be the end, Allahu a'lam, but this will not be the end of this particular segment of this feature of Abraham, because it opens up another ocean of information. And of course, our objective is to frame it and bind it and keep it within the perspective of what does this say to us about the science of truth and reality. So I'm going to read. It's a long section, and since my fluency of Arabic is such that we want to get through. So, you know, with respect to that fact on this long segment, I'm just going to read the expression of it. And I've always said, and I say now, that we don't address the grammar and the vocabulary in detail in these verses and on this particular platform or in this particular Juma. However, our object is always to add to the fund of information for any of you who are with us. But I do say, obviously, if you look more into the grammar, look more into the vocabulary, you'll get deeper and more profound understandings, even in this, by Allah's will, inshallah. But we share what Allah guides us to. That we feel that Allah has guided us to. So 674 through 83, it says, Lo, Abraham, a'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Lo, Abraham said to his father, Azar, take you idols for gods, for I see you and your people in manifest error. So also did we show Abraham the power and the laws of the heavens and the earth, that he might with understanding have certitude. When the night covered him over, he saw a star. He said, this is my Lord. But when it set, he said, I love not those that set. When he saw the moon rising in splendor, he said, this is my Lord. But when the moon set, he said, unless my Lord guides me, I shall surely be among those who go astray. When he saw the sun rising in splendor, he said, this is my Lord. This is the greatest of all. But when the sun set, he said, O my people, I am now free from your guilt of giving partners to Allah. For me, I have set my face firmly and truly toward him who created the heavens and the earth, and never shall I give partners to Allah. His people disputed with him, He said, come you to dispute with me about what Allah himself has guided me to? I fear not the being that you associate with Allah. Unless my Lord wills, nothing can happen. My Lord comprehends in his knowledge all things. Will you not yourselves be admonished? How should I fear the beings you associate with Allah when you fear not to give partners to Allah without any warrant having been given to you? Which of us, the two parties, has more right to security? Tell me if you know. It is those who believe and confuse not their beliefs with wrong that are truly in security, for they are on right guidance. That was the reasoning about us that we gave to Abraham to use against his people. We raise whom we will, degree after degree, for your Lord is full of wisdom and knowledge. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Alhamdulillah. I refer you back to particularly those of you who are with us on Saturdays, which has become an extension of whatever we present on Friday. But so much in this that we are reading from this encounter of Abraham with his father and about his people, it also correlates very clearly to that section of verses where we are told about people who have knowledge and have ability and who yet and still are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also particularly in this section, the latter portion of it, seems like 80 through 83, is saying that, you know, where Allah says in the other verse, this may come up in my notes here, but the idea is that God said he knows who they call upon in Surah Al-Ankabut, and he knows the ones that you call upon. And so it is, Abraham is saying the same thing. You know, my Lord knows who you're calling upon. My Lord knows the reality of what you think you are doing, what you think or what you are worshiping. And you feel secure about you being in that situation, but you have no right to security because you have no warrant for those beliefs, and those beliefs are not grounded in anything real or actual. So, again, this is, again, to reinforce the idea that there's a very consistent line between truth and between the opponents of truth and between Abraham and the model he sets forth. His life is a model, and so as we go on, this will be reinforced. According to the scripture, Abraham was from the Chaldeans, the Chaldeans, the Chaldeans. They are also known as the Babylonians. They're also known as the Babylonians, both Chaldeans and Babylonians. Sometimes there's a geographical location for it, but then there's also just a categorical, even a class reference for the Chaldeans. So it's like if someone being a Chaldean is not necessarily only related to a race of people or a tribe of people, it relates to people of a certain caliber of thinking and skill. That's what it also relates to. And that's who Abraham came from. So he's from the Chaldeans and the Babylonians, a people who were skilled in astrology, astronomy, and science. That was their claim to fame, let's call it. Yet they and their rulers worshiped idols. In the Holy Quran, Abraham's father was chief among them as the maker of those idols. These people, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, they fit the class of people that are mentioned in Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 29, verses 32 through 41. Particularly, they fit that class because they show themselves to be those whom Allah has favored to develop their human capacities, but who used them in opposition or to oppress rather than serve humanity in accordance with the will of Allah. And Quran specifically, it says, and the greatest form of oppression is shirk. The greatest form of oppression is associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first oppression begins upon yourself. Okay? Inni zalamtu nafsi is that verse in the Quran. I have oppressed myself. There is a correlation between Abraham being put into the fire by his people and not being burned. You'll find that in Surah 21, 68, and 69. And that is, there's a correlation, there's a parallel between him being put into the fire and the three Hebrew boys. Many of us, Bilalians, we know that. If we don't know anything else, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, we think that there are no doubt songs that maybe come to our mind just hearing those names. Well, those are names that they were given other than their quote-unquote Hebrew names. And that Hebrew having to do with crossover has also to do with Abraham himself and his history, at least the biblical history and reference for him. Hebaru has to do with those who crossed over, and the translation Hebrew had to do with what it was that he crossed over, but that's not my intention to get into those details. In Daniel chapter 3 is where these three quote-unquote Hebrew boys were thrown into the fire, and they also were not burned, right? And they were put into the fire for the same reason that Abraham was put into the fire. The reason being, not worshiping the false gods that were made by the king, and in the Quran it gives that to Abraham's father being the maker, but the whole people were against Abraham, and all of them feeling themselves needing to defend their God, they said, put him in the fire. If you're going to do anything, put him in the fire. So this is also another reflection of what the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, did to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which, as we say, as I'm saying now, is simply a type of the same thing, a type of the same thing. So these biblical and Quranic verses are signs and stories which serve as abstractions and personifications carrying the same message for believers. So just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel and by Nebuchadnezzar, by his saying that, hey, if you don't bow down and worship when we play that music, play that song, make those sounds, you don't bow down, then you're going to be punished, and the punishment is to be put into the fire. So the Hebrew boys didn't bow down. They were put into the fire, but then when they looked into the fire, it said, some say that, well, the one biblical reference says that it was an angel was there, and there was repentance at the end of that story there. That's another piece of it. But others say it was the Son of God. It said the Son of God was in there. So for you other students, I'll give you a little marginal note, footnote. It's like if you want to draw a very explicit correlation between that, then I think that looking at Abraham being a type of a fully developed person, he's put into three persons in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that image, because both of them are put into the fire for the same reason, with the consequence that neither of them are affected by that fire. But what is it that saved them? What saves them is the purity and of their own original nature and their devotion to God and all of those things that come with what I call sacred maturity. But that's another phase we'll get to, inshallah, Allahu A'lam, later. So the message to both, in both of those stories, is the development of your human capacities, that is in the story of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Nebuchadnezzar putting them in the fire for not worshiping the idols that they had created. Also, let me say this: that there's also the connection that we make to the Samiri and the golden calf that's made. It's a repetitive story. It's a story that's repeated. In fact, one of the meanings of Kitab, as I understand, something that repeats, it says the same thing in different ways. Similarly, this is what we see happening. What the Samiri was and did in that whole scenario between, that when we talked about lagging behind and turning around and looking back and having sentiments of the past, then the Samiri was able to manipulate those who were in the Exodus with Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, while they were under the quote-unquote authority of Aaron, but then because they had these longings from the past and the things that they were still carrying from the past, and it was out of that the false worship was built. It was out of that the quote-unquote the calf that the Samiri told them to build. One of the things that kind of pauses my thought right there, because when Moses asked the Samiri, well, what's your case? He said something about the footprints of the prophet and taking some dust from that. Well, when you talk about footprints, then you're talking about the past. Because if you see footprints, that's an impression that's made from something that had passed that way before. So footprints are symbols of history. So a distortion of their thinking based on their sentiments about their past, which is all of what we said, that caused them to go into false worship. Well, since I'm here, you remember it was the leavings of the menstrual blood that the term that Ghabara, I believe it was, was a term tied to the leavings after menstruation is complete, but then there is still a little blood there. The problem, as Imam Muhammad points out to us, he's pointing to us is the scriptural meaning, where it says, when I found you waddling in your own blood, waddling in your own blood. So that waddling in your own blood has to do with being more tied to your race, more tied to your familial sense of obligation, as opposed to being tied to and accepting your universal tie in relationship. Those are signs of the leavings of the blood. When the blood is more important to you, when it comes to obeying God, right? Quran, blood ties have a greater right even over the fraternal rights, but that's only when you're lined up properly, or at least not opposing those who are lined up properly to the will of Allah. So the point is that when we get too nationalistic, it's okay to, he created us tribes and nations that we might know one another. But when you become nationalistic, that's a problem. When you become tribalistic, that's a problem. And that's one of the signs in when Moses came to the town, he saw one of his people fighting with someone, and then Moses came to help that person, threw a punch, killed the man, and Moses said, "I was glad." It's like, basically, I didn't hit him that hard. This is from Shaitan, right? And so then the people came and they said, they're looking for you. So Moses, got out of town. But that was after he came another time, and the same guy, he was in a fight again. He said, "Oh, well, you're the troublemaker." It's like, I went to help you the first time because it's just natural out of my familiar reactions. Oh, but now, so it's like, I can't justify just supporting you just because he's one of my own. And this, I could go from the headlines, but I get away. That this is what's happening in the world right now. White people have the idea, when I say white in that way, I mean those who are color conscious, those who are caste consensus. They are in the consensus of the caste system. Those are the white people I'm talking about. I'm talking about those the South Shall Rise Again people, whatever, those people, right? They are, you know, right or wrong. You know, even those who identify in this maximalist way with Black Lives Matter, it's like black, right or wrong. You know, it's like I'm with it. So well, then you got two idols that are being worshipped. One is white and one is black. Neither one of them are acceptable to Allah. Both are waddling in their own blood. And if you are Muslim, then you may have some menstrual blood that's causing you to lag behind on getting into that universality. We are going for, our goal is the universal. Hajj is universal. Abraham built the house. You know the rest of the story. So let me dial it back and come to this. So the message to the believer is develop your human capacities, but use them to serve in accordance with the will of Allah rather than to oppress humanity, or you will be destroyed. So I'm saying the biblical message and the Quranic message, they're the same in that respect. And Abraham is central to both stories. Abraham is central to both stories. And in fact, as I've already said, that I believe that the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are really just an expression of Abraham. They're just an expression of Abraham, but representing. The fullness of the transitions that have to be arrived at in order to get the purity that earns the protection from the fire of those who would seek to destroy you, oppress you, and oppose you. So without even detailing it, but the idea is that when we talk about the star, moon, sun, then I wouldn't be averse to, haven't done it, but I wouldn't be averse to seeing the star, moon, and sun in those. And that's a longer step. But let's keep going. So the section that we read, a portion of it is the 675 through 79. And that is about the star, moon, and sun. And I'll read the expression again. It says, so also did Uzbilah. So also did we show Abraham the powers and the laws of the heavens and the earth, that he might have certitude. I remind you again, it's always when you come to this and when this is still the title, then it's always about the truth and reality. It's always about the science of truth and reality. And each one of those English words, the Arabic word for it all is haq. The Arabic word for it is haq. Ilm is science, right? Truth and reality is haq. So when we talk about that, as long as we're on this subject, it's always at the height of the scientific real, scientific as well. But truth is much higher. But that's what we're pushing, aiming at, and it's about understanding haq, understanding that reality. So then when God says, "Thus did we show Abraham the power and the laws of the heavens and the earth, that he might have certitude," it is talking about it at the highest level of mentioning, whatever. It said, with the powers and the laws of the heavens and earth. What are we talking about when we say the powers and the laws of the heavens? Are we talking about something low, or are we talking about something high? Are we talking about something shallow, or are we talking about something deep? Are we talking about something superficial or something profound? That's a statement of most profound import. It's like the powers and the laws of the heavens and the earth that encompasses all that can be known and all that can be understood. That's what God said. This is what we gave to Abraham. So when we talk about the science of truth and reality, was not Abraham given the science of truth and reality? I say again, Abraham is the epitome of what we're talking about. In the end, in the beginning and in the end, when you understand it, it is Abraham. It is Abraham, right? And when we get more details about Abraham and understand how to overlay, that is, well, I got to give you a word, isomorphic. Isomorphic, it means to bring that form that you see out there, bring it into yourself. That's out there, you bring it in. Iso means to bring in, right? Morphism is the form, to bring that form. And we use language like information. Information. When you get information, you get formed on the inside. When you have a model, this is how Allah created us. Allah created us to look and see a model and then emulate that model. And by emulating that model, you are creating that, transforming that, transfiguring that, transducing that outside of you to inside of you. This is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the nature to be Abraham. We have the nature to be Abraham, but we need a model of Abraham to know what does that mean that I should do. And one of the biggest things you have to do is resign your obedience and be an obedient, resign your heart and have your heart to direct your intellect to be obedient to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is what is going to transform, transfigure, and translate you as you are into what Abraham is only reflecting to us, the nature that is also in us. There's a little Bible floating around in my head this today, but it's not an apology. But he said, But in the Bible, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. And in that section of the verse, they say, hey, well, how are you going to be before Abraham? You're not even 50 years old, not even 50 years old. So, you know, that's a little hint there to tell you something else other than what you were told about Jesus, not even 50 years old. Is that what you say? Let's leave that alone. The idea is that Jesus is revealing to them that no one can get to where Abraham is until they become like I am. And no one can, and Abraham is actually the fulfillment and an expression of a disposition, an orientation, a spirit, a purity, etc., that has to be attained before you can get on that path that Abraham was on and that leads to Abraham. So before Abraham was, that is before the one that you glory in and the one that you hold in high esteem, he didn't that way. He followed a path where he arrived to be that father of all men, biblically speaking, the imam of the nations, Quranically speaking. He started as Adam. I'll go ahead and say it. He started as Adam, then he evolved to Abraham. But then Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus, he says in the Bible, says in one way, in Quran we get the same thing. The likeness of Jesus is that of Adam. Allah said to him, be, and he was. He created from dust, said to him, be, and he was. So what is it? Back to the before Abraham was, I am. It's just saying your original nature. You have to be alive in your original nature. You have to have purified and serviced and being open to and do what is conducive to the growth of your original human nature before you could ever become Abraham. That's it. And brother and sister, 30:30 of the Quran, it is just such a, it's really a cornerstone of everything that we're talking about here in this respect. Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nas fa'akim wajhaka lid-din hanif. You make it your commitment to live the way of life straight without mixing anything with it, without mixing anything with it or anything in it. Fitratullahi lati fatara an-nas alayh. He said, that is the origin. That's the point of origin. That's where you start. That's your beginning. Before Abraham was, I am. What is the I am? Fitr. the original nature. Before Abraham, that fullness of Abraham comes out of that original nature. That fullness of Abraham in you and I is going to come with the cultivation of that nature. But you cannot begin that journey until you face it, quote unquote, meaning that your orientation, it is your Qibla, it is the way that you are orienting your life upon and with respect for that original nature and whatever it takes to cultivate it. And God says in that same verse, لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ. Don't change the form that Allah has structured you in. Don't change your nature. Do you see a lot of nature changing, quote unquote, at least from a superficial perspective going on? Yes. Don't you do it. God is saying, don't you do it. He said, ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ قَيِّمًا. That is the way of life that will make you straight. That is the way of life that will guide you straight, lead you straight. That is itself straight. That is the path to get you from Fitra to Abraham, to get you from Adam to Abraham, to be that before Abraham was I am. That's what it is. And that's the perfection of what we have. I would have to go back and repeat again about this day have I perfected for you your way of life. I mean, if you understand Allahu A'lam, Allahu A'lam, you understand those two verses in the context that I'm saying, and just go into them and pull them out, think about them, and make the connections. You have your roadmap for life. It doesn't mean you have to change careers or you have to do anything else. All you have to just do what that's telling you to do. Live with that, and you will arrive by the grace of Allah, with the help of Allah, you will arrive at your highest possibility while your feet walk on this earth. MashaAllah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار give us the excellent things in this world and the excellent things in the world to come and save us from the chastisement of the fire. Amen. Alhamdulillah. All right. So, Bismillah. So this star, moon, sun. All right. So these verses, 675 to 79, they actually encapsulate entire knowledge history of modern man, individually and collectively. Inshallah, with Allah's help, inshallah, I'll give salute where it's due and where I know. I know when we talk about history, a part of the potential shortcomings that we all are vulnerable to on any racial side of the picture. Most mythologies, when you see those mythologies, most of those mythologies will have a mythology that uplifts a particular race. The Chinese or the Asians, et cetera, they have a myth that they were born from the Yellow River or something like that. There were so many rivers, and then they were born from the Yellow. So therefore, there you go with the color. And most other myths have some that either elevate or denigrate another race in some kind of way. But they're the purer mythologies, those that respect. Can be read in a frame that is not derogatory of one race versus another, well then, alhamdulillah, then perhaps they do have universal merit and value, etc. But you do that, you spend that time when that's what you're concerned about. My concern is inshallah the idea of universality, the idea of universality. I know we live in a time where people are more sensitive to their racial issues, and I think that's a part of the shaitan's intention. It's like, if I can get you more wrapped up in racializing, I still got you. I say, I'm coming from the left, from the right, from before, from behind. Okay, there was a time when this was bad, but now I'm going to make this bad time the good time. The Imam tells us, he tells us in his book, As the Light Shines from the East, he points out that this is a satanic principle operating covertly in this society to keep the moral sense of the people confused. I mean, it's like, it looks like something is good, wonderful, is working out in your favor. And man, it's sometimes it's a setup. So how do you protect yourself? You get off that TikTok, you know, you're getting sleepy, that whole kind of wagging, moving you from one extreme to the other and the other back to the other extreme. But just think about it. If I was doing that hypnotical thing, you know, the pocket watch, you know, TikTok, you know, going back and forth, you're getting sleepy. Okay. If I move, the higher I move up away from the pendulum, the bottom, whatever is at the end of that string, the higher I move up, the less movement there is, The further down I am on that, then there's more of a swing, right? And those are extremes. You're in those extremes. And the imam speaks it in the as a light shiner. He said, at the bottom of the pendulum swoop, you have aberrant morality. Aberrant. Now, if we're not an aberrant morality, then you haven't seen that that Viles. What's the girl's name? All the gold, the gymnast. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You haven't seen that commercial. If you don't think we're at aberrant behavior, you haven't seen that commercial. Any case, so. So the idea of the history of modern knowledge. So yeah, we're the first ones to do this. No, we're the first ones to do that. No, they stole that from us. You know what? All of that could be historically true. I'm not saying it's not an emphasis for me. I give a nod to that as a possibility. However, from that higher point of non-polarity in our thinking about knowledge, it's like all knowledge belongs to Allah. And that's back to the first verse in this whole series, 255, Surah Ayatul Kursi, second chapter, 255. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. And nobody encompasses any science, any knowledge, except as Allah allowed it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also said in the Quran to speak of, well, how they got it? They stole it from me. They got it. How'd they get it? How'd they get it? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he said, I gave you a mission. I gave you something to do. And if you don't do it, I'll raise up somebody else that will do it, and they won't be like you. So it's like, okay, somebody other than the ones who got it from the ones who look different than them, who are different than them. Yeah, that's what God said he would do it. That's his sunnah. I gave it to you first. What'd you do with it? God will never change the grace that he bestows upon the people until they change themselves what is in their own soul. 1492, Spain, right? And in 1503, that's like 10 years later, something like that, Islam is outlawed in Spain. This is after what? After 600 years. Let's go with the 600 years. 600 years of Islam there. But there's an arc for the growth and the presence of Islam there. So that arc, it went up, and then there was a decline. It went up when there was a change that led to rising. It went down when there was a change that led to decline. And then it's in that decline, then somebody comes in, and they take it up from there. But listen, don't miss it. Allah is saying, look, my plan is going forward. Now, whether you go forward with my plan or not, that's really up to you. Because if you fail my plan won't fail. That's worth bumper sticker right there. Even though you fail my plan won't fail. Who is that to? Believers? Allah has his plan. Now you get with Allah's plan, then you're blessed to rise and go and be protected by Allah's plan, Abraham. But if you get Allah's plan and don't follow Allah's plan, well, then you'll be with those who lag behind, Lot's wife. Doesn't even matter if you're in the family and the household of the prophet. If you don't be what you're supposed to be, then your scenario is going to change. Our scenario is going to change. ذلك بأن الله لم يقم غير النعمات أنعمها لقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. That's because بكوم. That is because Allah will never change the grace He bestows upon the people until He changes themselves with their own soul. I'm taking that time right there to say, because I'm not going to always just stop and say, well, yeah, well, the Greeks, they took it from the Africans, da 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 da. It's like, okay, how somebody take stuff from you if, in fact, you in some way fell short? Because if you're Muslim, then Allah, He said, whoever is an enemy to a servant of mine, I will be at war with them. So there's not going to be any victory over one that is in service to and aligned with the powers that Allah gives to those who believe. But Allah also, He tries us with the gain of power, and He tries us with the loss of power. So the bottom line is that there will be, and there has been, opinions on all sides of the question. So how do you get above the, let's just call it the fray, universality? All knowledge belongs to Allah. All truth is with Allah. And Allah opens up that truth and guides to that truth, that knowledge, that science, whoever He wills. But alhamdulillah, we are told this is how you have to be in order to be in line for that kind of guidance. And we, many portions of this whole series has been to say just that. You know, you and I have to become those who qualify themselves by this obedience to Allah, by the purification of practicing what Allah has given, in order that we can become receptacles for and openings for the will of Allah in the world. That's what we're created for. And the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said, the grace of Allah is that we have been favored with not having to figure it out. God says, I have completed my favor upon you by giving you this perfect way of life. The only thing we have to do is live it correctly. It is as simple as that. It's simple as that in terms of the recipe, right? The difficulty is in the doing. That's what life is. But it's not difficult because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it difficult. It's difficult because of what we have not learned to manage within our own selves. Anybody say, man, I'm finding it hard to pray, I'm finding it hard to fast, I'm finding it hard, whatever, hard to give the cat, whose problem is that? Whose problem is that? Well, why? What, is God stopping you? Is the prophet stopping you? The Muslims stopping you? Who's stopping you? See, in nizalam to nafs, it's something in ourselves that we have not learned how to comprehend, apprehend, manage, control, sometimes called the jinn. But that's another subject. But so then Abraham, I'm sorry, I'm pressing time. I started a little bit late. But we're going to kind of tie a knot at the end of the thread for today. And inshallah, tomorrow as usual, inshallah, we'll get a little more to it. All right. So 675 to 79 actually encapsulate the entire knowledge history of modern man individually and collectively. So my main point in all the other commentary is to say all knowledge belongs to Allah. So it doesn't matter who have it. And the Quran, and pardon me, the Hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it says that the bit of knowledge, that is the science, is the property of the believer. It's the inheritance of the believer. And wherever they find it, they have more of a right to it. And that believer, not just Muslims, but believers in God. If you study the history of knowledge, you will find that most modern knowledge, with all respect, including the impulse that resurrected Europe from the Dark Ages, from al-Islam, okay, but then there's a history after that. The richest part of the history of the West came from Muslims. That's a fact. I mean, that's just history. That's a fact. Even so, that knowledge is universal. And those who are doing it, you look at people like, you know, we live in the West. We live in the West, and so therefore these names are naturally going to be names that we hear. You know, Isaac Newton and Descartes and others. You'll find that most of these people, they were doing their scientific work as religious people. The idea, actually, religion, quote unquote, preceded what we call to be science today. And inshallah, we'll get into that perhaps as time goes. But the point for us to understand is that Abraham, in his many representations, even the idol shattering. You see a person smashing the idols. Well, it's not just or necessarily a person smashing the idols. It's an idea. It's a thinking. It's a mindset that destroys the idols. So whoever comes to that state, and in whatever domain, they smash the idols, big and small. As Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam literally represents the fulfillment of that in the quote-unquote conquest of Mecca, going into the Kaaba and casting out and knocking down all the idols. That's Abraham in reality right there. So, but that's something that we all have to do in our own souls, our own minds, our own thinking. We have to search out any idols that we may have, anything that we're looking at, anything that we're associating with Allah, even and especially when you don't know. You have to purify your own house. And the way that you purify, that's what salat is about. That's what taqwa is about. And that is what will put us into this Abrahamic condition. Put us in the position to be able to make the progress that's represented in the star, moon, sun. When we purify our respect for our own nature, our own hearts, our own minds, and our own destinies, and then dedicate that to the fulfillment, I mean the realization of the human purpose in your individual life. And please don't think that it means you got to become a monk, nun, sheikh, alim, hafiz. But no, you just got to be a human being, sincere and committed to the purpose and the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respecting the properties that Allah has put in your nature for the purpose of doing that job while you're alive on earth, and go to work. Go to work. You can do it. What you can do it as a school teacher, as a janitor, you can do it as a mechanic, you can do it as a baker, you can do it as any of the things that we do in occupation for as far as human life is concerned, because no matter where we are, no matter what we do, it's an opportunity for us to serve Allah's will while we're there. While we're there, you're in the bakery. That's what's in my mind right now at this moment. You're in the bakery, and you're standing behind the bakery passing out donuts and cakes and whatever. It's like, and you see in that person that's across the aisle from you, and the people that see the way you do business and people engage you in business, you see in that an opportunity to express, to provide a model, to provide something to emulate for this isomorphic human being to say, I'm going to be a good business person. I'm going to do good business. I'm going to produce good quality products. I'm going to treat my customers well. I'm going to do all those things, not just for the profit, P-R-O-F-I-T. I'm doing it in the name of Allah so that people will get a greater respect for honesty, a greater respect for trustworthiness, a greater respect for excellence in workmanship, excellence in service, etc. That you can serve Allah that way, not just by doing those things that are quote-unquote literally religious. You know, and that's their language. You know, you don't have to be religious about it. It's like, come on. There's so much to say about that. Allah chose a businessman to be the last prophet. The longest verse in the Quran is about business transactions. So it's like, I think God is kind of telling us that you need to do some business. But mashallah, put a comma in it, and inshallah, we'll continue by Allah's great grace and with his help and guidance. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا واسرافنا في امرنا واثبت اقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. O Allah, forgive us our faults and anything we have done to transgress our duties. Establish our feet firmly and help us against those who stand against faith. Rabbi ja'alni muqama salat wa min zuriyati rabbana wa taqabbal du'a. Rabbana ghafir li wa li waladayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yahkum al-hisab. O Allah, forgive us our shortcomings. O Allah, guide us to the best. Purify us in our hearts, our intention, our worship, and our thinking. Bless us to learn how to obey you in such a way that we influence others to desire to be servants of yours, to desire to serve you in the world in whichever way might benefit people that we encounter, that we might spread your will through our actions, through our habits, through our thinking, through our attitude, through our postures, in the ways that we address matters that we are confronted with in the world. Let us be examples for those to show that you are never absent at any time or place. And bless us, O Allah, to be ever secure and ever aspiring to live in the life that you have provided for us through the examples of your prophets, among the highest of them, Abraham, and of course, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who says to us that if you want to see your brother Abraham, then look at him. And we see in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the perfect model of life for us. Bless us, O Allah, to live true and sincere to the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it should be lived in our time. We beg this of you only, for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, we say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The first we need to mention is our brother Bashir Salam, pioneer and former minister and imam in Richmond, California, and also some time as an imam in Oakland as well. He passed away yesterday, and inshallah, details about his janazah are being developed. And inshallah, I'm sure most everyone who is hearing us here will get that news as soon as it's there. Happy anniversary to Tamir and Nisa Erdenbach. It's the last name. Not Tamir Lukma. We said somebody's name out there, the person started getting birthday wishes and everything. No, no. This is Tamir and Lil Nisa. Let's put it like that. 10 years. Alhamdulillah. Happy birthday to Bania Sumter, alhamdulillah, November 16th. Naeem Majid, November 17th. Adib Nasir, November 18th. And Kayla Mahasan Shuaib Peters, also on birthday number one, alhamdulillah, today. Allahu Akbar. And always happy birthday to the moms, because there's no birthday for them if there's no birthday for moms. Alhamdulillah. And we're pleased to say that Sister Salima Sabur, her surgery was successful yesterday. Alhamdulillah. We want to keep her in our prayers. And she'll be leaving the hospital today, inshallah. And she appreciates all the prayers and well wishes, as we said. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, new births. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. New births. We have Jamil and Robin Edwards on the birth of their baby girl, Amira Shante Akila Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Born yesterday morning, 8 pounds, 2 ounces. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, from the earth we came, to the earth we return, from that we'll be drawn out again. So the cycle of life continues. So, mashallah, brothers and sisters, let's stay, well, we say, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Just the idea is just live the life that Allah created you for. If you don't, I really don't know why you put your feet on the floor in the morning. Our condolences, as we've said, to the wife, children, and families of Bashir Salah, who passed away yesterday. And also Amina and Latifa Shaheed, their family. His cousin passed away in Spokane, Washington, yesterday morning. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Alhamdulillah. May Allah help us, guide us to the best. Wa alaykum as-salam. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. ربنا ولك الله أكبر. 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 الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إلا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. ربنا ولك الحمد. الله أكبر. 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 السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الحمد لله رب العالمين. شكرا.
السلام عليكم بلوك.